SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And now, back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Welcome in hour number two. Donnie Wrightside here. Ready to go? You want to call in 844-843-6879 right here on the grid. It is Moneyline. Now, starting off hour number two, as usual, we're going to find out where JP is going tonight. So he said he was not going with a player prop tonight. It would be a side or a total. And JP, I'm going to go with a total, and I'm going to go over the total of 211 there. What are you doing here?
Yeah, I'm going with the Heat on the money line.
Oh, whoa! Taking all that juicy. Now, I like that, too. Like, I went yesterday, JP, and I said, you know, on Game Time Decisions, you know what? Forget this. There's a really good chance that not only the Heat win Game 1, but they win Game 2 also in Boston. So I'm sort of with you on this one here. Shocked me a little bit. I like that, though, because you're right. You can't do this, JP. Say, hey, you know what? I don't know if they win, but I think they can stay within the eight. Do you think they're going to stay within the eight? What does that mean? There's a legitimate chance you think they win the basketball game. JP, all right. So give me the synopsis tonight. Like, what actually happens here with the Heat, and why do they play well tonight? What's the thoughts on that?
I mean, you want to talk about two completely different teams. You go from the Celtics playing the Sixers, who came out with like no passion in those last few games, to a team in the Heat that is going to give you their all every night, every single time. And they just came off a brutal series with the Knicks. They're ready for this. I don't know if the Celtics are locked in for this. I see the Heat still in Game 1.
Ooh, see, there we go. Let's see. Miami Heat, Boston Celtics. We'll watch that play out tonight, but certainly that's sort of the gumption that we like to see. Forget about the points, man. It's going to take them outright. It's not like, hey, forget about the 3.5 points. It's actually eight and a half points that you're going to forget about, which means you are going to get a bigger payday. Real quick here in Major League Baseball, just to give an update, the Pittsburgh Pirates have a 3-0 lead over the Detroit Tigers. Now, granted, the Pirates didn't match up all that well with the Tigers today. They really didn't. They got shut out yesterday, only had 5 hits, didn't score a single run against Michael Lorenzen. Now, Lorenzen has been good this season, but if you were transferring it over to today, Detroit should have had a major pitching advantage, and certainly doesn't look like it now because they're down 3-0. Now, a guy that just hit a home run a few moments ago, which was Rodolfo Castro. Now, get this. Rodriguez is a left-handed pitcher, absolutely dominating this season, or should I say the past 30 days against lefties. Also dominating against right-handed batters to the tune of a 184 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 053. Now, talking this morning on the early line, I thought something was really incredible when you take a look at Rodriguez's splits. To lefties, which again, he's a left-handed pitcher, 25 plate appearances, nobody's gotten on base. Weighted on base percentage zero, ISO power number zero, which I've never seen that before. So when you're lining this game up to yourself, now granted, we might well still be in an under total here because the Detroit Tigers haven't scored any runs. Javi Baez at the plate here in the bottom of the fourth inning. I don't see any out, so it might be just starting right now. But Rodolfo, just to go over the numbers that I like to look at, Rodolfo Castro, switch hitter. So he'll be batting from the right-hand side today, and he was. He hit a home run. So if you say to yourself before the game, you're just looking at the statistics of who has a chance to do some damage. Now, granted, none of these really technically match up because of how good Rodriguez has been this season for the Tigers. McCutcheon, 524 ISO power number. Connor Joe, 464. And Castro, a 400. Castro also coming in with a 415 weighted on base percentage. Joe with a 473. And McCutcheon at a 465, which is pretty wild when you think about it. But again, it wasn't on my radar because nothing really matched up for me because of how good Rodriguez has been. But it's no surprise that Castro, with a 400 ISO power number against left-handed pitching over the past 30 days, went yard. Now, I'm trying to see who else did damage here. It looks like Austin Hedges, I think, had the double for the other two RBI, and he did. So there you go. Now, McCutcheon, as I said also, a 524 ISO and a 465 weighted on base percentage. He already has a base hit in this game. Look at this, too. Connor Joe, also a base hit. So the three highest-rated players in the lineup today versus left-handed pitching for the past month, base hit, base hit, base hit. So there you go. Sometimes some of those numbers still stick out, even though they really didn't translate because of how good Rodriguez has been. Now let's take a look at what happened yesterday in Major League Baseball and how we can sort of transition it over to today. And also, you take a look at where some things went right probably for yourself and also wrong. The Orioles ended up with a 7-3 victory over the Angels. That was really a surprise to me. Kramer versus Sil Seth. Not really too much going there, or not really too much to be excited about. The Tigers and the Pirates yesterday, Lorenzen really shut down the Pirates. And I was joking this morning saying, hey, man, you may get back-to-back shutouts here against the Pirates, which obviously is not the case as they played it a few runs here through four innings against the Tigers. The Marlins 5-4 yesterday, I thought it was a legitimate chance that the Nationals could have been an underdog and win that game. They gave up the lead late on Jorge Soler's walk-off two-run jack to win 5-4. The Yankees and the Blue Jays was an interesting game overall for myself because when you're looking at this, you're saying to yourself, hey, you know what? Kevin Gausman's a really good pitcher. He went seven innings, only two earned runs. Three runs overall, but one of those not his fault, and 10 Ks. Yankees still won that game. And Hermano got thrown out of that game because he was doctoring baseballs. And they still ended up with a win here. That's a good baseball club, the Yankees, fighting their way back. And that was a big win yesterday over the Toronto Blue Jays. They got another big game today, which we are going to preview in a little bit. But I want to continue down this path of Major League Baseball, what happened yesterday. Then we're going to hit this Major League Baseball card hard today and find some of the intricacies that you know I can find. It's Moneyline, it's Wednesday. Donnie Wrightside, and I'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Little Usher to usher in a new segment here. Ooh, that's using my head right there, isn't it? Ooh, that's sharp. Donnie Wrightside here. This is Moneyline. And to get that out, let's get myself caught up in a little bit of dance music here. Phone lines open 844-843-6879. And by the way, James Harden news, which I want to get to because we're going to get right back to this Major League Baseball card. Nothing pressing right now, by the way, on the card because we don't have games that start up. It looks like we have one, two, three, four. Four games that start up in the 3 o'clock hour East Coast time coming up. That is the Reds, Rockies, Twins, Dodgers, Diamondbacks, Athletics, which everybody's always interested in, and rightfully so. Phillies and the Giants. Then a couple games here. One game at 4 o'clock. Then the night card starts. So some good options. But talk to me about this, people. James Harden plans, and again, this is why I talked about Ja Morant, where the superstar athletes don't live in the same realm we do. Because James Harden plans to decline his $35.6 million option and become a free agent and to secure a long-term deal per Chris B. Haynes, NBA insider. He says he's interested in teams with a competitive roster and wants the basketball freedom to be himself. So what does that actually mean? Has anybody told James Harden that he doesn't have competitive freedom? Honestly, like what does that actually come from? Hey, James, you want to go to Phoenix? No competitive freedom there. He's got, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. Do you want to go to L.A.? It's not competitive freedom there. You know, I don't have enough freedom with the basketball because LeBron James is going to be there and Anthony Davis. I actually don't know technically what that means or what he's really talking about at that point. But it is the NBA. And also, if you're talking and throwing Chris Paul, Suns are talking about guaranteeing his contract now, which was not guaranteed, I believe, past this year. So that just goes to show you where we as fans... Man, I don't want James Harden. Somebody always wants him. Phoenix, just stop spending money on Chris Paul. They sign him. Spend money on Chris Paul. And that's just the way it is. But it's interesting to see there where James Harden coming off just an interesting playoffs. A couple games with 40 points, a couple clunkers thrown in. It wasn't like, hey, he scored 22 points every game, even though his average was good because he dropped a few 40s in there, right? And we'll see what he gets on the open market and what he actually wants to do. I believe the Sixers can probably offer more money than anybody else, but why would they do that? Are they going to go 4 years and say, hey, our window is now? Are they going to try to pursue options like Damian Lillard or try to make a sign-and-trade deal? Something is going to go down with James Harden. But the basketball freedom, as if James Harden over his career in the NBA wasn't allowed to do what he does. That's all he's allowed to do. And particularly being in Houston and Philadelphia with Daryl Morey as the GM, you know they were lockstep in everything. And quite frankly, if you're James Harden, you probably think the creative freedom is going to be in Philadelphia because that's what Daryl Morey loves about James Harden. Oh, well. We'll see what happens here. But also back to Major League Baseball from yesterday. One game that had a decent pitching matchup, particularly from the Mariners' perspective yesterday with Luis Castillo on the mound. They got hammered 9-4 in that game. 74, 75 degrees at first pitch, winds blowing out in Boston, small ballpark. It didn't surprise me that they got 13 runs. But right away, man, they were putting the pedal to the metal against Luis Castillo. Now, the game which was interesting yesterday, which again, thought process behind this. Hey, Donnie, why are you going over yesterday's games? Because you try to use what happened yesterday and move forward with it. Because I came on the air and told you. Not many people understood why the Mets were actually a favorite yesterday. I did, though. Verlander had a couple decent starts under his belt here. Looked like he was probably going to be rounding into form. And the Rays had two pitchers, one opener and one long reliever, who had really high xFIP minus numbers. So you thought the bottom was going to fall out. Fast forward to the end of the game. If you guys would have told me that the Mets would have scored 5 runs yesterday, I would have told you the Mets would have won that game. They didn't. They got smoked. And they were down. Like, those 5 runs for the Mets, or multiple runs for the Mets, came late. The Rays were the better team all the way through and smoking the baseball and crushing Verlander and knocking him out. So that was surprising to me, because some people would have been correct saying, hey, Donnie, if I'm going to get, like, pick a money or plus money with the Rays, I actually don't care who's pitching for them or against them. They're just that good, and they're playing that good at baseball. And you would have been right yesterday, and congratulations if you did take the Rays at that plus money. That's nice. That spends well. But I believed in the hype yesterday with the Mets and Verlander saying, okay, I understand this Mets lineup isn't hitting very well. But if they don't hit today, but technically they did, right? They only had 6 hits, but they still scored 5 runs. 5 runs in Major League Baseball, you're supposed to win that game, especially with your ace on the mound in Justin Verlander. That didn't happen. Now, these games are the ones I always enjoy. The next two that I'm going to talk about from yesterday, right? Because we talk about public perception and what is actually reality. Because Major League Baseball is the true grind. You're only as good as the starting pitcher that's going to be on the mound the next day. Momentum is one thing, a starting pitcher is another. You saw the Brewers get absolutely blasted by the Cardinals the night before. What was it, 18-1 final? So, of course, the Cardinals scored 18 runs one night and 2 the second. The Brewers won that game, which is impressive anyway. But the simple fact of the matter is they got hammered and the Cardinals were red hot, and the Brewers stopped them in their tracks 3-2. Let's go to the next game. The Rangers and the Braves. Basically a pick 'em in that game. What, are you kidding me? Dunning, who is that? Dunning's been very good this year. He actually improved now to 4-0 with a 1.69 ERA. Schuster was on the mound yesterday, which a guy they brought up who didn't pitch very well to start the season and didn't pitch very well in this game. The Rangers, who got hammered the night before, shutout 12-0. They win 7-4 over the Braves. And get this. Yesterday, the Rangers got shut out. But I told you, it was an anomaly. Why? They had 10 hits in that game. Go back across the annals of Major League Baseball and find where a team had double-digit hits but didn't score a single run. The Rangers did that. You know what happened today? Or yesterday, excuse me? They had 10 hits again, but scored 7 times through those 10 hits. Always interesting baseball. Reds and the Rockies. I mean, they had, what, 2 runs combined? Heading into the 7th inning in Colorado with 2 tomato cans on the mound? That was an interesting number to look at. But how about this? Athletics and the Diamondbacks yesterday. The Diamondbacks had 15 hits and 8 runs against the Athletics, and they ended up losing because of a late tying grand slam in the 7th inning, which allowed the 12th inning Athletics to pick up the 9-8 victory. 17 total runs there. And still, if you bet the Diamondbacks, you lost the game if you took them on the money line. But my goodness, seems like you just have to get after the Athletics and that horrendous pitching staff and make yourself a little bit of money there. They ended up doing that yesterday. And how about the Royals? Couldn't hit their way out of a paper bag taking on the San Diego Padres. They win 5-4 yesterday. Scored all their runs in one inning, which was the 2nd inning, and held on for the victory. And Lugo had been very good for the Padres this year. Singer's not a great pitcher. We are still waiting for the Padres to wake up, right? 20-23 on the season. Under 500 at home, even. Just brutal. Now, that game was 5-4 after the sixth inning, and the bullpen, actually, how about that? The Kansas City Royals bullpen comes in and holds down the fort. How about that one? And then you take a look at the Philadelphia Phillies. They had 10 hits last night and lost because they only scored 3 runs. And one of the wackiest plays that you're going to see in 2023, you know, Joey Bart hit a pop fly that the first baseman ran into foul ground and completely misplayed it, gets blown back onto the field, ends up with a double, and that's how the Phillies go down. 20 total hits in that game, by the way. That is pretty impressive. Let me see what happened in this, because, you know, I didn't see the final stat lines of the starters. Yeah, Wheeler wasn't good enough yesterday. 6 innings, 9 hits, 4 earned runs. Stop it. Then you take a look at Alex Cobb. Only went through 3 1/3, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, and 5 walks in that game. And the Phillies couldn't make it count. We hit a home run. Yeah, Schwarber hit a bomb in the 9th inning to get that game a little bit closer. No home runs out of the San Francisco Giants in that one. So the Phillies also feel like that same vibe right now with the Padres, right? Padres 23-20, Phillies 22-20. Got to get it together. How about a nice bounce-back performance yesterday? Clayton Kershaw, who was basically untouchable. He lost to Bailey Ober. By the way, Bailey Ober to the Twins. Hey, don't disrespect the guy out here. 3-0 in the season, a 1.78 ERA. He's doing it all. But you know what I'm doing next? I'm getting right down to the card today. Let's pick out some winners. Let's find some intricacies, and let's have some fun. It's Wednesday afternoon, and we're talking baseball right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Alrighty. Right back at it, having some fun here. Moneyline, afternoon, Wednesday, Sirius XM Channel 159. Let's get down to some business here. By the way, the business that keeps coming in is from the Pittsburgh Pirates here in the middle of the fifth inning, up 4-0 over the Detroit Tigers. Who would have saw that coming? But it is kind of funny how now Andrew McCutchen, one of those plus batters in the lineup, 2-for-3 with an RBI. Connor Joe, 1-for-3. Rodolfo Castro, 1-for-1, scoring 2 runs and an RBI, which included a home run, and he's walked. So those guys doing damage here. But again, I wasn't going to play any of those. That's not a victory lap going, I told you so. I wasn't playing anything in this game because I thought Rodriguez would be able to shut that lineup down. But they got 4 runs well on their way to a victory over the Detroit Tigers. Now, as we like to do here, let me just get a quick update on my numbers because we're going to take a look at the probable pitchers today. And we're going to take a look at which pitchers that we probably want to get after, which pitchers that we would like to fade. Which makes sense, which doesn't make sense. Let's see what happens here. So, all right, we have 29 pitchers eligible on the card today with at least 10 innings pitched in 2023. If you're taking a look, and if you follow me on Twitter at RightsideVP, I put this tweet out earlier in the day. The two best pitchers for me on the card today are going toe-to-toe, and that's the Braves and the Rangers, Strider and Eovaldi. Get a look at this. XFIP minus numbers, Strider 57, Nathan Eovaldi is 69. And again, XFIP minus, just to keep it simple, is based on 100 as the league average. 57 and 69, anything below that is sensational. And those two numbers really are. Anything above it, you get into the danger zone. So that gives you an idea. Eduardo Rodriguez today was an 85. Decent pitcher there on the mound today. Yu Darvish, just to give you a look, 89. Kodai Senga, New York Mets. A 95. Taijuan Walker, the Phillies, a 95. Now, the guy even up on the card today who's just doing his average, Cabrera for the Marlins at 100. So now we start to take a look at some of these plus pitchers that we're going to be dealing with today. Luis Medina, who's not a very good pitcher, but he isn't terrible here with his XFIP minus number for the Oakland Athletics, which they have a game this afternoon against the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's sitting at a 101, but look at his ERA, an 8.18. So maybe just getting a little bit unlucky at this point is what we're trying to decipher. Josh Fleming on the mound for the Tampa Bay Rays. He's a 105 today. So a plus pitcher going up against the Mets. Can they take advantage? Rich Hill, who's on the mound right now and shutting out the Detroit Tigers. He came into this game as a 105 XFIP minus guy. And again, 105 isn't terrible. You know, that's slightly above, you know, average here. Not the greatest, not the worst. But guys that you want to focus in on here, and there's not a lot of tomato cans, as I like to say. Now, let me just take a look at this one game, because if there's a one to focus on with a bad pitcher, let's see, Chicago White Sox. Clevinger is on the mound. The only problem is we look at that, right? Going up against the Cleveland Guardians, not a great baseball team. Chilly conditions in Chicago today. At the start of the game, 56 degrees. By the time the game winds up, you're going to be around 50 degrees. And a wind blowing from the left field foul pole to the right field foul pole. It's not getting a lot of help. But the reason I bring that up here is Clevinger's the worst rated pitcher on my card today. Now, you say 4.79 ERA. It's not disastrous, but it's not, you know, good. But he's a 131 xFIP minus, which translates into that. His xFIP is a 5.64. That's terrible. His Sierra rating is at a 5. There's two pitchers today on the card with a minimum of 10 innings that have a Sierra over 5. That's Gomber and Clevinger. So if we take a look first and say to ourselves, okay, we want to focus in on bad pitching. It's Mike Clevinger of the Chicago White Sox. So if we slide down and take a look at 8-10 is the start tonight. Again, not the greatest conditions. If we look at the last 30 days, right? I just told you Clevinger's been bad. He's been bad the whole season and also particularly in the last 30 days. An xFIP of close to 6, a K rate that doesn't even approach 20%, and a ground ball rate of only 32%, which again, what some people say, Donnie, why do you care about the ground ball rate? It's simple. More fly balls usually equal more runs because those balls have a chance to leave the yard. Just to keep it simple. Now, Clevinger is what I like to call an equal opportunity pitcher for both lefty batters and righty batters to absolutely crush him. Clevinger to lefties, a 373 weighted on base percentage to righties, a 360. That's just in the last 30 days. 44 batters from the left side, 68 batters from the right side. ISO power numbers elevated all over the place. Clevinger, the right-handed pitcher, pitching to left-handed batters over the past month, that's a 429 ISO power number. And again, if you're new to those numbers, 170 is where you want to be as a pitcher or less. He's at 429. My goodness. Right-handed batters, a little bit better ISO power numbers at 177, but still slightly elevated. But still, the weighted on-base percentages are high from both sides. Here's the issue that we're running into today. And again, there are no official starting lineups out for this game since it's a night game. But look at this over the past month. When we talk about, yeah, sometimes you could just fade a bad pitcher, but you want the confidence of a good lineup going against a bad pitcher. And a lot of times you're going to zero in on the ISO power numbers because that's going to be the driving force behind your offense. Yeah, weighted on base percentage is fantastic, shows the, you know, guy getting on base and the damage he's doing, but just looking at pure power numbers with ISO is where I like to go. 9 guys in the lineup anticipated tonight. Again, as I told you, ISO power numbers for a pitcher, you want a 170 or below. Obviously, as a hitter, it's reversed. You want to be 170 or higher. I'm going to read you the power numbers here over the last 30 days against right-handed pitching for the Cleveland Guardians. And keep in mind, they have a nice mix of lefty and righty batters, which, again, would fit right into the mold of beating up Clevinger on the mound. But here we go. Kwan, 074. Rosario, 043. Jimenez, 111. Bell, 085. Arias, 100. Brennan, 083. Zanino, 125. Straw, 023. I mean, come on now. I'm not even giving you anything here. And how about weighted on base percentages here? Forget about just the pure power numbers. Only one guy in the lineup, Arias, who has 13 at-bats in the last month against right-handed pitching, is at a weighted on base percentage of 453. So if one of those that, you know, we just have to burn, you can't do much with that. Now, if you flip it over to the other side, Battenfield's on the mound. He's got a 5.28 xFIP over the past 30 days. Where is he on the card this year? Battenfield's at a 106. So that might be something that you can look into from an opposite perspective. But again, we don't have true hitting weather conditions there. It's going to be cold. But if we're trying to find our way around this game with Battenfield, he gets hammered by left-handed batters. In the lineup from the left side tonight, going to be Benintendi for the White Sox, Moncada, Sheets, Grandal, 1, 2, 3, 4. So 5 batters from the right side, which Battenfield does pretty well. 4 batters from the left side, which you can get after them. But you do have a nice little chunk in the middle of that lineup, which has 2 lefties. Actually, let me see here. Grandal, no, he's below. You got 2 lefties and 2 righties. ISO power numbers for Robert, 324. Moncada, 182. Vaughn, 190. And Sheets, 185. But again, it's a shame because you had a pitching matchup that probably could have made some sense if you had a lineup that was willing to play, and you don't have that. So let's take a look here at a game that's going to start in the afternoon. Austin Gomber of the Colorado Rockies. He's got a 115 xFIP minus number, which, again, is above average. Terrible ERA at 630. An xFIP number of 4.97 and a disastrous Sierra 5.21. But the reason why this number isn't off the charts is because Gomber gets a little bit of credit for pitching some of his games in Colorado and Coors in that thin air. But let's line this game up here based on some statistics going back over the past 30 days. Now, granted, yesterday, you're not getting a lot of hype out of this game, and you're not getting a lot of confidence. Why is that? Let's go 4 runs total yesterday. What was the total in that game? Around 12? You're getting around 11.5 today. But let's focus on Gomber. And again, we talk about not a great pitcher here. Lefty over the past 30 days, xFIP over 5, bad. K percentage below 20%, bad. To left-handed batters who he's faced 26 of them over the past month, it's a 399 weighted on base average. That's ridiculous. You can't be that bad lefty on lefty. That's criminal. Right side here, he's actually doing decent against right-handed batters. 81 he's faced, a 320 weighted on base average, which is right around average. ISO power numbers, however, are elevated. But again, you need two to tango. You need a bad pitcher on the mound, but you also need an offense that can bang around a bad pitcher. We're not getting that out of the Reds over the past month here. Against left-handed pitching, again, you're probably going to get, it looks like, eight bat, and you are, this is confirmed, actually, so you are getting this. One left-handed batter and eight guys from the right side, just loading up against Gomber. But once again, look at these power numbers. Nick Senzel out of the two-hole here. 348 ISO, 617 weighted on base percentage to 24 at-bats against lefties. That's a guy you're probably going to want to play today. Kevin Newman, a 174 ISO power number, right around average from the right side. And then pulling up Luke Maley, how about this, through 12 at-bats, which again, isn't a big sample size against lefties for the past month. He's got a 364 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 537. But look at the rest of the guys. Jonathan India, ISO power number versus lefties, 043. Steer, 053. Fairchild, 087. That's three of your first four batters in the lineup are putting up ISO power numbers like that, minuscule. Then you get Newman at that average at 174. Then you drop right back down. Will Myers, 077. Barrero, 19 at-bats and zero ISO power number. Fraley threw 9 at-bats against lefties, a zero ISO power number. So you're looking now, and this is sometimes gets a little disheartening, right? The two worst pitchers on the card, we probably won't even be able to take advantage of, unless you're just saying, hey, these pitchers are bad. Sooner or later, even bad hitting is going to catch up to some of these guys. And you might be right. But it's not me sitting back saying to myself, hey, this looks fantastic. Let me get involved in it. I can't do it. Just can't do it. But there are some other games to take a look at here. Chris Bassitt actually coming in 27th out of 29 pitchers on the card today with a minimum of 10 innings in 2023 with an xFIP minus of 114. And over the last 30 days, he's actually been decent. Is there a chance that the Yankees can go yard a few times again tonight? Come on to find out. We're going to take a look.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it. Continue our Major League Baseball trends here. By the way, the Pittsburgh Pirates 4-0 here in the bottom of the sixth inning with one out. And as we told you to start the game, the Detroit Tigers were minus 215. If you want to take the Detroit Tigers now down 4 runs, you get a plus 1,200 price there. So 12-1 if you feel that the Tigers can come back and win this game. All right, let's get on to it. As I was posing, and also, I like the fact with the chance to educate the people about what I look at and why some statistics change and how you get hot on a pitcher and cold on a pitcher. The way you can do with full season statistics and based on what the pitcher has been doing lately. I told you, Chris Bassitt, actually listed as the 27th pitcher here out of 29 with xFIP minus today at a 114, which is 14% higher than what the league average would be. His ERA is very good. Like, you're taking a look at the pitcher ahead of him, which is Ryan Nelson, a 6.20 ERA, and the pitcher below him, Austin Gomber, at a 630. But he's sandwiched in there at a 349, which technically doesn't make any sense, right? xFIP number, 4.94, high. Sierra number, 4.92, high. That's on the season here for Chris Bassett. Now, as I just told you that, let's take a look at they line up in this game. No official lineup out just yet here from what I'm showing for Toronto or, obviously, the New York Yankees. But let's take a look at it from a Yankees perspective. And instead of, you know what, we'll start out this way. Let's go full season here. XFIP again, not very good, around 5. That could be troublesome. Walk ratio here, 11% on the season. Ground ball percentage, only 41%, which means over 50% of the balls hit against Bassett are either line drives or fly balls. Now, take a look at the splits on the season here. Chris Bassett, right-handed pitcher. On the season, technically getting dominated by left-handed bats. 93 total on the season. 363 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 263. So you see it right away. Line me up here on left-handed bats. Rizzo should be able to eat. On the season for Rizzo, a 235 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 366 based on right-handed pitching here, right? So you say, wow, okay. That does make some sense. And I'm just pulling up some side-by-side statistics here just so we can get a full look and I don't have to bounce back and forth to either one of these. So let me just bring up now the numbers, which will be relative to the last 30 days. Okay. So now, again, we're still going over full season here for the Yankee batters going up against Bassett. Bauer's left-handed batter, anticipated in the lineup tonight for the Yankees. 30 at-bats on the season, a 250 ISO power number, a weighted on-base percentage of 360. Now, granted, he's got most of those bats in the last 30 days. They're not going to change all that much. But again, the focus here is on Bassett. Close to a 5 XFIP for the season, raked by left-handed batters, but he still dominates against righties here. Now, let's take a look at how some things change. And sometimes you want to ride off into the sunset and say, all right, let me see how hot that pitcher is. Because as we like to say, boy, did he dominate March 30th and April 7th and then fall off the wagon? And how much did you put into those games early in the season where he may have dominated? I don't have Bassett's actual roster up of when he pitched. I'm just using that just as a backboard here and a basis point. Last 30 days now, he's got an XFIP that's under 4.5. That's improvement based on the season. K percentage, which was 21%, has actually improved to 23% over the past 30 days. Now let's get into the numbers that matter here. 62 batters that he's faced from the left-hand side over the past 30 days. For the season, Bassett, he's actually faced 93 total batters from the left side. And as we told you with those full season statistics, his weighted on base percentage was 363 full season. That's terrible. 263 weighted on base, 263 ISO power number, that's terrible. But look at the last 30 days. Look at the drastic improvement out of Bassett, who's faced 62 batters over the past month. He's really closed that gap. He went from a weighted on base percentage for the season average at 363 and melted that down to a 297. That's fantastic. Look at the ISO power number, which I just told you on the season, if you use that as a whole, is 263. That's bad. But in the last 30 days, a 104. That's really good. And then to right-handed batters, still upholding his end of the bargain and actually got better as the season has moved on here. Over the last 30 days, a 129 weighted on base percentage. ISO power number, 031. So that's what you have to weigh here. Do you just say to yourself, like, hey, look, you know, Anthony Rizzo, and take a look at Rizzo. Look at these numbers here on Rizzo, too, because this also plays in if you want to take these statistics of Major League Baseball players and how they are on a whole. On the season, Rizzo hitting right-handed pitching, a 235 ISO power number and a 366 weighted on base average. You would play that each and every time. And also, I'm going to take a look at Aaron Judge in a second. But let's focus on Rizzo, right? Because you look at Bassett, he struggles with left-handed pitching on the season. If you just lined up Rizzo, that's a guy you want to get to. But then you flip it over to the past 30 days where Bassett has done unbelievably well against lefties. And also Rizzo. He drops from a 235 ISO power number on the season to the last 30 days at 194. Weighted on base percentage, which is above average for the season at 366, now drops to a 316 if you're just looking at the last 30 days. Now, Aaron Judge, over the past 30 days, he's hammering now a 400 ISO power and a 406 weighted on base percentage, which is basically as good as he's been doing for the entire season. He's done very well. But do you see that? It's just food for thought. I'm not saying which one is better per se, right? One would think you ride the hot streaks. Pitcher's been pitching well. Let me ride that out. Hitter's been doing well. that out. But also, it just goes to show you, as we get more statistics that are going along as the summer lays out, what actually happens, you have to decide for yourself what means more. And for me, sometimes it's just common sense. Hey, Donnie, this pitcher's been phenomenal in the month of July. But why is his xFIP so high and it's seemingly like his splits don't make sense? Well, maybe he was really bad in April and the early parts of May, worked on his pitching, worked on his mechanics, and has really turned the corner. You can get some value there as opposed to those season-long metrics. Because it used to be just a few short weeks ago, we were only going off of 2, 3, 4 weeks here. So basically 30-day statistics. But now you have to weigh for yourself what you think makes more sense. And for me, what makes more sense is just common sense. You got to take a look at both of them, because there's instances where a pitcher is bad and just will stay bad, and it's paint by numbers. The same thing with a hitter. Hey, if they've been crushing left-handed pitching in April, they're probably doing it in May and June and July, and that makes some sense. But I just wanted to give you guys that option, saying, like, hold on. Chris Bassitt on the season here is the third worst pitcher on the card today, but why aren't these numbers actually matching up anymore? That's why. Maybe struggled to start the season, has really turned it around, and in the past few starts, which again includes close to 130 batters, it's not as if he only has, hey, Donnie's been pitching well, but that's only 22 batters faced. Like, no, you have a pretty good sample size on that outcome there. So again, which one do you believe in? Which would you believe in more? Recency biased, how the guy's doing lately, or totality of the season? I tend to lean more in my court of a recency bias. How are you doing lately here? But that blend of what you can get into. A lot of pitchers today are decent on the card. Like, if we're talking about one of the worst pitchers on the card being Chris Bassitt, that shows you how the depth of the card is really shaping up here today for us. And also, if we're looking at overall conditions, hitting conditions here in the month of May, it really is a mixed bag. It's chilly temperatures out there for Detroit and Pittsburgh, and that game is 4-0 here, and it looks like Pittsburgh's up at the top of the seventh inning. Excuse me, I couldn't see it. The Reds and the Rockies, 77 degrees today. Warmer conditions than what you saw yesterday, which they only scored 4 runs in. The Twins and the Dodgers, afternoon today. It's actually a 12-10 start out there at Dodger Stadium. But you're getting nice conditions. 71 degrees, 10 miles an hour wind blowing out. So maybe that's going to help the baseball there. Oakland Athletics and the Arizona Diamondbacks, 3:37 start Eastern. But 12:37 out on the West Coast, 67 degrees. With 8-mile-an-hour winds blowing out. Now, granted, again, winds are always typically blowing out at Dodger Stadium and in Oakland. The same thing with the Giants. Every single time you're going to watch, it's usually either right center field or left center field the wind is blowing out, or just dead center for San Francisco. Only 60 degrees there in the Phillies game going up against the Giants today. So not great weather conditions there. The Padres and the Royals, they'll tangle early afternoon game on the West Coast. 1:10 start there, 4:10 East Coast. 67 degrees with a wind blowing from the left foul pole to the right foul pole, about 8 miles an hour. So it shouldn't make too much of a difference there. The Baltimore Orioles and the Los Angeles Angels today, which are going to get underway at 6:35 at Camden Yards. That's 67 degrees, a little bit cooler there, but also a double-digit wind blowing in from center field. We've seen a lot of runs here come across the plate in this series, and rightfully so, from the Baltimore Orioles' perspective. Do that continue tonight? Because the weather conditions aren't as good as they need to be. Now, also, just showing another base knock here. The Pittsburgh Pirates have a 5-0 lead now. They've already knocked Eduardo Rodriguez out of the game, and they still continue to do some damage here. So we'll see where that finishes up. I believe second and third with nobody out. Just check the FanDuel Sportsbook here with that update. Yeah, I think second and third. Is it second and third or first and second? Doesn't show. It shows first and second. There we go. Just flipped over. Second and third, 5-0 here with the numbers locked. That probably means a ball is basically going to be in play in a few moments here. We'll see if that actually cashes in. But I believe Castro is now up the plate with a little bit more chance to do damage. Is that Castro? I can't tell. I can't see. That is actually a base knock up there. So it looks like 7-0 now it's going to be for the Pittsburgh Pirates if they rounded both of those players. I see 6 up there. It's actually Connor Joe with the base hit. So everybody doing a lot of damage today. First and third, nobody out. This game, which looked like it was going to be a stone cold under for a while, no longer the case now. Looks like they're going to shatter that here at this point. So other weather conditions. Now also keep in mind, Seattle Mariners and the Boston Red Sox yesterday, when you had Pivetta and who was on the mound? Was it Castillo? Yeah, Castillo was on the mound. Wind was blowing out mid-70s, and that paid a price. You got 13 total runs in that game. Completely different today. Mariners and the Red Sox are going to start at 7:10 Eastern. But we got 51-degree temperatures there and 13-mile-an-hour winds, but they are blowing from left foul pole to right foul pole, not really helping all that much. The New York Mets and the Tampa Bay Rays today, 60-degree temperatures with a heavy wind, 17 miles an hour blowing in from the left field bleachers. Now, granted, I don't know how much that's going to make a difference, because if anybody's, you know, watched Citi Field, that's a pretty steep bank out there in left field, from the seats starting in the lower deck all the way to the upper deck. So I don't know how much the wind is actually going to impact that, even though it is technically blowing in from left field. The Cardinals and the Brewers today, nice temperatures here, 79 degrees. A wind is blowing in from center field, but only about 6 miles an hour, so shouldn't make a big difference. And, you know, we already talked about the Guardians and the White Sox here, 54 degrees with 10 miles an hour blowing. Looks like, again, left to right. So left flagpole to right flagpole here. So not a ton to love today, to be honest. Maybe more of an undercard, which, as we talked about, at least I talked about briefly, the Atlanta Braves and the Texas Rangers. No really need to get into those two lineups there, because I don't expect too many things to be going down between those two. ERAs are fantastic. FIPs are fantastic. XFIPs are fantastic. Sierras are fantastic. XFIP minus fantastic as well. And I believe an error here now by the Detroit Tigers, which allows another first and third and another run to score. 7-0 Buccos here. Just goes to show you, not everything goes to plan where you have a great pitcher and a bad lineup, and here come the Buccos pounding the daylights out of the Detroit Tigers today. But there are some pitchers out here that have some questionable numbers. Just a matter of what we see out of these final statistic games. And one of those, which I guess we can bring up briefly here after the break before we get out of here, everybody always wants to know about the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Oakland Athletics. Minus 154 price on the D-backs, 9.5 as a total. We'll do a quick breakdown of that game after the break to see if we might be able to find some RBI props, some value in that game, and certainly a same-game parlay here tonight in the NBA. Stay tuned. One more segment to go. Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yo, final segment of the day here. Boy, time flies, right? Solo mission yesterday, solo mission today. But now it's time to wrap it up here, give out some plays, and have some fun. I told you we would take a quick look here at the game today, or should I say this afternoon, for Arizona-Oakland. 3:37 Eastern, that's 12:37 out on the West Coast. Medina's on the mound. He should get hit today. He really should. If you base it on the entire season in its totality, he's been terrible against right-handed batters. He's going to get a couple good right-handed punches today, but also lefties, an ISO power number that is elevated here at 235. If we flip this down to 30 days, actually it's the same, right? So we don't have to make any changes here. Wow, look at the lineup today, by the way, for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Only one player, which is Rojas, out of the lead spot at a 258 weighted on base average. Everybody else is stacked up. Do we trust the numbers here? Do we just let it roll? Because Nelson on the other side, he should get touched up a little bit. Last 30 days, he's been rough. So if you're looking at this game overall, have some fun with it. Take a total to the over today for Arizona and Oakland. It just seems to make some sense. Two teams with pitchers that don't really do too much, even though the strikeout percentage for the Oakland Athletics bats are ridiculous. But Noda, Rooker, and Blade should be doing damage. We'll have some props here in this game in a little bit to have some fun with on RBIs. But also, same game parlay today for me. Plus 180 price, Tatum to make at least 3 3-point shots, Tatum to score at least 25 or more points, Jimmy Butler to get 4 assists, and Jimmy Butler to get at least 6 rebounds. That's a plus 180. JP, let the people know where you're going today. What action we got?
We got to rock with the Heat on the money line for the first game.
There you go. Makes some sense here. By the way, man, just looking at, hold on, let me just check Medina's statistics here real quick. Where is he again on that XFIP minus? Because it wasn't too bad. It's a 101, so it's right about average. He should get lit up today. What is their team total at the FanDuel Sportsbook? Can I find this really quick? Let's see. Scroll over. Games. It's got to be close to five. It can't be anything less than five. That's not going to come in, but come on. Let me find it here. Where is it? Okay. So you got a 9.5 total. So my guess is, are they going to juice this up to 5.5 here? Is that what we're going to get? Scroll down. Where are you at? Okay. Diamondbacks. 5 at minus 110. So, okay, it's really a tough one, Seth. They should get that, but we need 6 to win. We're going to get runs in that game. Take the over in that game. Have some fun this afternoon. Get paid. We're out of here. See you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.